Hey, hey, I was just calling to let you know, I seriously love your little Randy Newman-esque theme song. I think it's the best theme song you've ever had. I would actually like to request that you play it every single week, maybe in conjunction with whatever else you want. But, you know, if I get to start out my every Friday morning, which is when I tend to listen to your podcast on my commute, with little Randy Newman-esque theme song, you know, I feel a lot better. It makes the day go by quicker. So, all the guys are hating. I don't know. They can see you back at Dick's. Play it every week. Also, Harrison, you're not that bad. You're no Lance Wackerly. So, all the guys hating, whatever. You just keep doing what you're doing, okay? Just keep it up there, little buddy. Don't feel too bad. All right. Thanks, guys. Keep it sick. Keep it wrong.
Oh, yeah. My favorite podcast is the Sick and Wrong Podcast. Because it's a very good podcast. It's a funny, 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 funny show. Sick and Wrong Podcast is a wonderful podcast. It's a miraculous podcast. It's like the best podcast in the whole wide, wide, wide world.
Good evening. Welcome to Sick and Wrong, the world source for antisocial commentary. I'm your host, D. Simon.
And I am Harrison.
Rather chipper today there, Harrison.
Well, I'm not, actually.
You mask it very well.
I mean, did you know, D, for instance, that just out of the blue, you could take a bunch of night vision binoculars and then sort of scrape out the thorium that's used to, you know, give the luminescence there. Mm-hmm. And with simple high school chemistry, you could isolate the thorium and turn it into a powder. And then with that powder, you could put it in somebody's drink or, you know, put it in inside their cell phone. And then you got a problem that's gone.
Wait, okay. You're saying you could purchase night vision goggles and scrape out the thorium from the night vision goggles?
Yeah, maybe like four or five of them online.
How many? And so what happens if you ingest thorium?
You die.
You just die immediately?
I think it takes a little while.
Is it painful?
I think it takes a little while. And then if it's even external contact, you can, you know, a little bit of time.
See, that's the thing that bothers me about that. It's like you're drinking bleach or something or Drano. It's like, I don't want to have my stomach just ravaged and writhe about in pain for hours. Why not just take a bunch of painkillers and drink a fifth of Jack Daniels or something?
No, I'm saying
bullet bourbon.
I'm saying you could do this to someone, to a person.
Oh, okay. You're saying now. Okay, I thought you were talking suicide because that's a fairly common topic.
No, who would do that? That's insane.
I'm just saying. But it's not gonna.
That's just one to grow on.
How much do you need?
I'm trying to help people.
Okay, all right. Well, that's. It's probably hard to trace. I mean, it's.
And if you don't know, now you know.
Now you know. That's true.
Ninja.
Well, you know, in other news, I read something interesting today.
Yeah.
Did you know that Luke Skywalker is gay? He's a gay man, Luke Skywalker.
That's a misleading headline you're reporting right there.
I know. I was going to explain it in a second. But, yeah. I mean, did you see that news? As if it's news.
I did.
Like,
I read it.
This is important news.
You said it's open to interpretation.
But it's funny to me that this is you. I saw this on CNN. It's like, Luke Skywalker might be gay. It's like, who cares?
I mean... Jedis are supposed to, I don't even want to say this because I feel I want to punch myself in the fucking face, but Jedis are supposed to be celibate.
Oh, are they?
They're like monks. Yeah, they're like monks.
They're supposed to be celibate. I always kind of assumed, you know, that he had something.
They're not supposed to have emotions.
I assumed that he had something for his sister, and then he's like, you know what? I'm going to be a Jedi, and now I'm just never going to get laid, like a priest or a monk.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So, but then why are they like? Why are they speculating that he could be gay then?
Well, I mean, you know, Anakin Skywalker. Oh,
that dude.
The fact, I always end up, I know too much about Star Wars lore, but yeah. Well, this isn't, Anakin Skywalker, you know, he had sex and had children, obviously, but he wasn't supposed to. And
that's the kind of bullshit that happens.
He
was kind of a, you know, rebellious Jedi anyway.
Yeah.
The Sith and all that.
Yeah. We all know how that turned out.
Did Obi-Wan ever get laid? Or was he gay?
He was gay. I don't know.
Was Alec Guinness gay?
I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know. I could look it up right now, but I really just don't care.
Yeah, neither do I.
Yeah.
But you know, it kind of pissed me off when I read that because it's this whole thing of like, you know, we don't want to offend everybody. Everybody's equal. We need to put more characters in there. We need to have gay characters. And I'm surprised they don't have like a Down syndrome character in the Star Wars universe. I mean, sure. I'm sure there are gay characters in the Star Wars. I'm sure there's people that fuck Jawas. Like that's your fetish, you know?
Yeah. How does that, is that, yeah. I mean, like if you're fucking Ewoks, is that, you know, is that heteroflexible with Ewoks? I don't know. Like, what is that?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the term would be.
Right.
Well, this is what Mark Hamill said. He goes, you know, fans have been writing and asking all these questions. I'm bullied in school. I'm afraid to come out. They say to me, could Luke be gay? And I'd say it's meant to be interpreted by the viewer. If you think Luke's gay, then of course he is. You should not be ashamed of it. You know, judge Luke by his character, not by who he loves. He's like, his sexuality is open to interpretation. So if it's open to interpretation, I want him to have sex with Ewoks.
You know, I find it hard to believe that he even made that statement without having to consult with like four different fucking committees of marketing executives at Disney.
Disney lawyer. Yeah. Disney lawyers probably wrote that.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to offend anybody.
I mean, the entire movie was written by goddamn, you know, marketing, you know, teams. It's very clear.
So J.J. Abrams opened up about the possibility of having gay characters in Star Wars. And he says it seems insanely narrow-minded to say that there wouldn't be a homosexual character in that world.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you know, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure there are homosexuals and I'm sure there's pedophiles. I'm sure there's like people that have sex with Ewoks. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think it's, you know, I think we should have some flexibility.
I don't even think I've even seen heavy petting in a goddamn Star Wars movie. So who gives a shit? There's no sex.
But I mean, William Shatner, Captain Kirk,
right.
He went around like he was having sex with all sorts of aliens.
He was.
I mean, didn't he have sex with the Tribbles?
No.
I thought he did.
No.
In a later episode.
No.
Maybe I've drunk that.
What?
Possibly.
Tribbles are not fucking fleshlights to be fucked here and there.
I wouldn't put it past him.
All right. I mean, you know, sure.
I mean, who knows?
Okay.
But that's the thing, though. So who are the sluts of the Star Wars universe?
The Twi'leks. God damn it. I hate myself so much.
Wait, are those the girls with like the socks on their heads?
Yeah.
Or like the rubber tubes?
The crazy tentacles on their heads, yeah.
But it's not,
they're like the, you know, Vietnamese sex slaves of the goddamn Star Wars universe.
Did Jabba had a couple of them, right?
Yeah. Do you have any thorium? I'm going to take some, I think.
I think you might need some.
Yeah, Jabba had one and then she's dancing and then he, you know, hits the trap door and...
And then, yeah, gets eaten by the monster thing.
Just to amuse him.
So it's like regular human characters were fucking the Twi'leks then, right? Or is everybody fucking the Twi'leks?
Everybody's fucking the Twi'leks.
And that's the only slutty character in the galaxy. You can't go fuck a Jawa?
I mean, you could. I don't even know if they have genders, you know?
I don't know. But I mean, I imagine Luke Skywalker,
like,
or any
cats.
Jedi for that matter, could just use the Force to go rape an Ewok. I mean, what's the Ewok going to do?
I mean, you could do that. I for some reason, I don't think it'd be that hard to seduce an Ewok. You know, like, why do you need to rape an Ewok? Just...
I don't think you could go
put a little work into it.
You really think you could just go and, like, you don't even speak the language.
Give it, like, a fucking bunch of acorns and you're good. That's it. What else do you need to do? You know? God damn it.
Did Luke have a wife? I thought it Mara Jade. And that's a Star Wars thing I know.
That shit is not fucking canon, bro. That is the old
Where's
novels.
That from?
That's the old Timothy Hahn novels.
Okay. Wow. You even know the name
God,
of the novel?
Jesus
Christ. Wow. How long's it been since you've been late?
Even smoke detectors have americium 214 isotopes
Jesus
in them.
Christ.
So I could just eat some of that if you have any. So
that's not canon.
I'm gonna do
So tell me.
And I hate Star Wars. I just know so much about it.
So what's the deal then? So if it's not canon, then what about in the story? Like what's the canon of Luke Skywalker then?
Well, they're writing it now, man.
Oh, so this could be... So
Disney,
they could write in
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, Disney wiped it.
Well, then, okay. Then let's have him have this fetish for Ewoks. Like, he's just an Ewok fucker.
Yeah.
I think that would be kind of cool.
Right. Well, you know, sneak onto the Disney lot and...
Do you want him to have sex with male or female Ewoks, or does it matter?
Poison all the marketing executives with radioactive isotopes, and then maybe, you know, maybe we'll work towards that.
You know, that... God, that would be great.
I wanted to have sex with, like, the, what are those guys, the calamaris, those squid guys?
Greedo.
No, Greedo's a Rodian.
The walrus head.
I don't remember who the walrus
said
is.
Wait, you know what Greedo's race is?
I do.
Jesus.
I know. I know. God. I know.
I'm embarrassed to be in the room with you. Wow. Jesus. You probably... you search for Star Wars porn?
No, I don't like Star... I just know a lot about fucking Star Wars. All right?
So wait. So what's the calamari one? I'm going to try to... Is this a new character?
The calamari...
Oh, wait. Like the guy that's like, it's a trap.
Well, he's one of them. There's he's one, you know, like subspecies
Akbar,
of
General
them.
Akbar.
Admiral Akbar.
Yeah, okay? Admiral Akbar.
And then there's also on that same planet, the calamari planet, there's also these guys who have squid faces and squid-shaped heads.
What if Chewbacca's gay? He has a wife, though, in the Christmas
special. He's got a wife. He's got a grandpa. He's got a fucking child.
Huh. How come? Okay, well, how come the Wookiees don't go fuck the Ewoks then? Because they're like little Wookiees.
I mean, it would make... I think that would be illegal.
Or do you think that'd be pedophilia? Like,
yeah, it's...
But I mean, it's cross-species. Like, how come Chewbacca's not banging any...
It's not illicit, but it's unseemly.
Do you think he has a red rocket?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I just feel that Luke Skywalker or any... I mean, I'm sure the Sith probably use mind control powers all the time to get laid.
Right.
You know, but... you know, I wouldn't even put it past the Sith to have sex with Ewoks. I'm just saying, I think it's like Luke Skywalker having sex with, you know, being a gay character. It's banal. It's like, it's pedestrian. Who cares?
Yeah.
I say, like, let's just push the envelope one step further. Ewoks.
Okay.
I'm not even making a joke here. I'm, like, serious about this. I read the article and I was thinking, why not then?
Right.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting.
Who did the Zabraks fuck?
Who?
The Darth Arrakis? Maul guys.
Oh, what is
the Zabraks?
The Zabraks?
Yeah, that's what they're called.
I'm just saying, they could fuck anyone
they want.
I'm just
going to embrace this now. I don't even care.
Those guys look like people that hang out at goth clubs. They could probably have sex with like a lot of people.
Yeah, they just look like weird, you know, body mod people.
Yeah, that guy, yeah. I'm sure. You know, I was actually talking to an ex-girlfriend of mine the other day about who she would fuck in the Star Wars universe, and she'd almost have sex with any of these aliens. Like, I was asking, I was like, what about the Sith guy, like Darth Maul? And she was like, yeah, why not? I was like, so if you met a guy that had, you know, the subdermal implants and he was like red and black, and she was just like, yeah, it'd be interesting. I was like, you don't even know what kind of a dick he has.
What about Bib Fortuna?
Which guy's that guy?
He's like Jabba's like personal assistant.
A Salacious Crumb.
No, that's Jabba's like court jester. who has his own rich inner life, apparently, according to the former canon.
Is that an alien species too?
Yes. I don't know what the species is.
Yeah, I was about to say, what are those called? Yeah.
No. Bib Fortuna is the guy with the sharp teeth. Oh, he's like a male Twi'lek.
Yeah.
And he's like, the Jabba Wonka?
She probably would.
Right.
Yes, that's interesting. It's an interesting topic. You know, this is a good thing to ask a girl on Tinder. You know,
it's absolutely not.
And then you can explain, you know, I have no idea how to talk to
you
women.
Had some success on Tinder.
Here.
I mean, you have more success on Tinder than I do for fuck. Well, I don't use it anymore because I can't.
You know the names of alien races on Star Wars. What do you expect? So moving on here. That was just a tidbit of an introduction because I read that
Jesus
before the show. Do you think O.J. Simpson would fuck an Ewok?
Yeah, I think there's very few things O.J. Simpson wouldn't do.
Well, other than murder, because he's acquitted of that.
Yeah.
He's probably sexually fluid now, though, because he's in prison. He's probably in a celebrity prison, though.
He's in Nevada prison. Nevada prison is like... Yeah, I've read a lot of prison memoirs, and prison in Nevada, it's like... There's this one that they probably put him in. It's like way the fuck in the desert, and it's, you know... It's like no one can escape because it's so far in the desert.
Supermax.
Yeah, it's.
But is it a state pen or is it a celebrity prison?
It's a state pen. Yeah, he's in the state.
I'm sorry, usually with celebrities. I mean, he's kind of a target.
I mean, they might have him in ADSEG or something. You know.
Do you think just the regular criminals or convicts in there think he's like, you know, high five, like, wow, you're a star, a star murderer.
It depends on what kind of prison you're in. Like, I know, like. You know, Old Dirty Bastard had a really hard time when he was in prison in upstate New York.
See, that is weird. Was ODB a gang member? Like, you'd think they would be like, you're a brilliant
rapper.
He
wasn't. No. No, because, you know, he's a rapper who talks shit. So people want to, like, have a rep. So they fucking attack him.
Oh, so they could, that makes sense. But usually guys like James Holmes the other day, the guy that shot a bunch of people at the Batman movie in Colorado, he was attacked viciously. Dahmer was murdered in prison. Sure. You'd think someone would be like, I'm the guy that killed OJ.
You'd think so, yeah.
But OJ's kind of a badass, though.
Right.
I don't think he'd be very easy to kill.
Maybe he's got protection, you know?
So OJ's in the news again, and not, well, you know, coincidentally, I don't know if this has something to do with the TV show on FX right now. But anyway, I don't know if this is some kind of publicity stunt, but O.J. Simpson was in the news because this Friday, the LAPD announced that a knife was allegedly found on O.J. Simpson's former estate in Brentwood, and that a former LAPD police officer, George Maycott, got the knife from a construction worker in 2002, and is just now, you know, like 14 years later, coming forward and saying, hey, oh, by the way, I found a serrated knife that matches the description of the knife that was used to murder Nicole and Goldman.
Yeah.
And you know, here it is. What, you got to question the timing.
Yeah. The timing is very weird.
I mean, it's like, okay, you know, I wonder if, do you think, and this might actually be uncovered, do you think this guy, this Maycott, you know, went to FX or something and said, hey, you know, I found this. You give me a bunch of money. We got a good publicity stunt thing going on. Or went to some kind of PR firm and maybe got paid off.
It's very possible, though. I think if he would have done that, they would have done it earlier in the series. A few episodes ago,
yeah,
perhaps.
Because that you've been watching the show.
Oh,
what's it called? It's called American Crime Story, right?
American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson. And it's amazing. It's one of those things where it's when something becomes so stupid, it somehow turns a corner and becomes profound.
But it's just, to me, it just looks absurd. I mean, you have like Malcolm Jamal Warner, David Schwimmer.
Yeah.
He plays a Kardashian lawyer.
Yeah, and it's almost like, well, first of all, you have to listen to this, okay?
You've got it, Juice. When Chris and I broke up, the Juice was there for me every night. It's like he's not really the Juice anymore. We gotta get you dressed, Juice.
Is that Kato Kaelin?
Juice, a Will?
This is
Juice.
David Schwimmer as Robert Kardashian.
Juice! Come on, Juice. Juice! Juice. Juice, it's AC. Juice!
Wait, just, what's happening in that scene?
It's just him saying Juice all the times he said it.
Oh, it's a super cut of him saying Juice.
Yeah. It's like he's not even the Juice anymore. And the funny thing about the show is that it's like, well, first of all, it's ridiculous. And a lot of it's just like Marsha Clark chain smoking in bad 90s suits. But which I would just, if it was just that, I'd watch it, to be honest. But it's almost kind of like something you could show people in 10 years and be like, and this is how it began. This is how we ended up electing the Kardashians, our sovereign oligarchs of the United States.
Well, it's funny to me that they're like, you know, let's wait 2 decades and then tell the O.J. Simpson story.
Yeah.
Like, why make a crime drama 2 decades after? I mean, is there like a, you know, statute of limitations or something?
Oh, we are in the golden age of television.
Whatever. I don't even know. So wait, does Malcolm Jamal Warner play O.J.?
A.C. Cowlings.
Who plays O.J.?
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah, yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
This I got to watch this.
Just like overacting. And then John Travolta plays Robert Shapiro.
Oh my God.
With fucking caterpillars on his instead of eyebrows. It's so great.
Who plays Cato?
I don't know who the guy is who plays Cato. Some guy.
Do they actually reenact the murder?
Nathan Lane is what's the guy's name? W.C. Fields. What's the stupid other attorney? F. Lee Bailey, the Wesley Strangler guy. Yeah, yeah.
So, do they actually show the murder?
No.
Oh, okay, they're not like doing a reenactment of the murder.
It's not just, yet. Not
so the
yet,
whole
at least.
Thing? Did they show the chase and the Bronco?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I remember that from high school. You remember that?
Oh yeah.
Like watching it on TV and just being like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Probably the most sensational trial of the 21st century.
It was. It was kind of like. It kind of came to represent, like, you could take that whole thing and be like, yeah, that was the 90s, in the same way that you could take, like, Rocky IV and be like, yeah, that's the 80s.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's true. It's like, I think that was one of the signature events of the 90s.
Right.
You know, that and Nirvana's Nevermind.
Right.
The death of hair metal. But you got to question the timing. It's weird. So Maycott, George Maycott, who's retired now, he was working off duty in 2003. He retired in 1998.
Uh-huh.
And a construction worker came over and just gave him the knife. Like, I don't know. It's like, oh, he's a police officer. Here's a knife that he said he found it on or near the old Simpson property.
Right. Thinking that the cop would, you know, take it into.
Well, and that's the thing. In his defense, he did. He actually did call the LAPD, called his old supervisor and said, hey, you know, I found this this knife. And they said that the case was closed and there's nothing authorities could do at this point. So he just took the knife home. He placed it in a toolbox and just forgot about it for years. Yeah. That's what he's saying.
Right.
Which to me, it just seems it's just very suspicious. Just, it's very coincidental that there's a hit show right now on FX and this guy comes forward with a damning piece of evidence. Like, I don't know why the prosecution didn't press further, like dig up his entire property to look for knives.
Well, he called up his supervisor and his supervisor was just like, how does this relate to us finding an unarmed black kid to shoot? And the guy's like, well, it doesn't. And he's like, take it home. I don't give a shit.
We don't need the knife. Yeah. Then this case is closed.
Frame it, bury it, dig it up in 20 years. I don't care.
Did a black kid hand you the knife?
Right.
Could you hand it back so we could just see him holding it for like maybe 5 minutes?
He's got a knife.
Shoot him. The knife was dirty and muddy. It looked like it had been underground. But he said that there's no blood or anything on it to indicate that there's a violent crime had been committed with it.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
Stainless steel. I mean, if you're going to bury a knife, just at least wash it off in the fucking sink first, you know?
So, but the weapon that was used in the stabbing deaths of Nicole Brown Simpson and Goldman was a long serrated knife that was never found. Yep. And they said that there's footage of OJ actually purchasing a knife. There's like security footage or something of OJ purchasing a knife and having it sharpened. but you know what the thing is they talked to Alan Dershowitz.
Mr. Simpson? A little bit sharper. Juice wants it sharper.
Yeah. Dershowitz said that Simpson would prevail in court because you can't be prosecuted again on charges that you've already been acquitted of. It's double jeopardy.
You need to be a fucking famous attorney to know this. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, so it's like...
It was a movie with Ashley Judd. We all saw it. We all know what it means.
But this knife, though, I mean, so it's not, you know, it's not admissible evidence at this point.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, so what's the point of even having it?
There's no point. There's no point. There's literally, like, what they're going to... If they tested it somehow and then they matched the DNA, what are they going to do? They're going to get sad. I mean, he's in prison anyway, but they're going to get sad. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, we fucked up even more. Well...
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. I mean, there's got to be egg on the face here for the LAPD. I mean, it's like they missed a knife that was buried in his backyard.
Again, I as I've said in previous episodes, I mean, there's a lot of blunders. They have a history of blunders.
The Grim Sleeper trial.
Yeah.
Anyway, police are examining the item right now. They're doing DNA and hair testing, but they declined to give any specific details. The knife can be tested for hair or blood, but it might have degraded significantly because it was buried in the soil for so long.
Right.
But LAPD is saying that if they do find hair or blood, there's a good chance that they could actually exhume the remains of Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson to see if the knife had been and there's a bone damage match.
But why?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. So anyway, yeah. There's the unknowns here is why.
Can
did
you
the
imagine
officer...
the cops dig up the thing and then they're like, you know, playing around with the skulls like a puppet. Like, hey, I'm Nicole Brown Simpson. Well, I'm Ron Goldman. I'm a waiter, and I'm bringing your sunglasses here back. Oh, God. What are you two doing? Stab, 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 stab. Exalt. End of play.
Yeah, that's actually that's some theater here. Mm-hmm. Sick and wrong theater.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, that would be such a media spectacle. Could you imagine? People would be like freaking out
if
they exhumed the corpses of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. The families would be freaking. It'd be a huge media trial. It would be great. I actually think Donald Trump should do that when he's president.
Oh yeah,
we're exhuming the bodies, testing the knife, bone damage.
Donald Trump should have a throne just made of the skulls of his enemies once he becomes the president.
Yeah, no, he's the ultimate troll. But yeah, there's a question about why he waited so long to turn it over to police. I'm surprised the guy didn't just sell it on eBay, you know?
It's probably worth something. Yeah.
You know? It's interesting that all of a sudden here's a knife that's found in his backyard in the middle of a TV series. So I mean, it's interesting. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm always, it seems crazy that this would be related to it, but I'm always like, I'm so living in LA, like I don't trust anything. Like everything is some kind of guerrilla marketing thing.
Yeah, I mean, everything's like a facade. It's all simulacra. Like, there's no way to know if something is true or not.
Right.
I mean, it's that's what they do.
Yeah.
That's every marketing device.
That's
this
what they
seems
do.
Like a marketing ploy
yeah.
to me. But the, I guess the last point I want to make here is, how could you, as a prosecutor...
How could you?
As a prosecutor, though, how could you not just have an exhaustive search to find a fucking murder weapon?
You'd think they dig, I don't know, metal detector, you know?
Well, I read that...
Also, why the fuck would he bury it? Well, you drive down Sunset, you go over to the PCH, fucking throw that shit in the ocean. You know, he's got an arm on him, I'm sure. Throw that shit in the ocean, never fucking see it again. Why bury it in your yard like a jackass?
Yeah, I don't get that either. They said that there's a possibility that he would have went to LAX and just dumped it in a trash can there. And so police actually searched the landfills around LAX and then just gave up. But yeah, I mean, why would you bury the murder weapon in your backyard?
It would be insane.
I'm skeptical.
I mean, the whole thing, I mean, it's not like he was really thinking clearly, although he did get a knife sharpened. The whole time the guy's sharpening the knife, he's just thinking, stab, 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 stab.
Stabby, stab, stab. You know, I'm questioning the whole thing. I don't, you know, people find utensils, but I mean, I'm sure there's barbecue utensils that might have gotten buried when they built their pool or something.
Okay.
So, you know, who knows? I mean, a good steak knife could actually fell on the ground and got buried over the years. I'm skeptical that this is the murder web. I don't think it was.
It gets buried?
Yeah, you know, they do some construction.
This isn't like ancient fucking pottery. This isn't archaeology. You know, it was 20 years ago.
People build like extensions to their property and it's like something on the ground gets buried accidentally. I mean, it could happen.
All right.
I'm just saying it's just oddly coincidental that you have a hit TV show and then all of a sudden I found the murder weapon from the O.J. Simpson trial.
Fair enough.
So, I don't know. It remains to be seen. Meanwhile, I'd like to think that O.J. Simpson is just fucking Ewoks.
Yeah.
In prison. He's in there for 33 years.
Bear Cubs.
Yeah. He's in there for a while. People, this is episode 522 here of Sick and Wrong. Send us your story, sickandwrongpodcast@hotmail.com. We have some good stories this week. So there's a lot of sick and wrong news that occurred. But before we get to our first story, here's a word from adamandeve.com.
Hey kids, do you like sex toys?
Yeah!
Then go to adamandeve.com and make a purchase using coupon code DIDDLE. You'll get 50% off your first item, 3 free adult DVDs, free shipping, and a gift so sensual I can't even mention it on this podcast about murder and bukkake. Support Sick and Wrong by supporting our sponsor, adamandeve.com, and making a purchase with coupon code DIDDLE. That's DIDDLE, D-I-D-D-L-E, like your uncle used to do to you.
Speaking of other prisoners, famous celebrity prisoners,
yes.
Jared Fogle. Gained 30 pounds in just 3 months into his prison sentence. It's been in there for 90 days. The guy's already packed on 30 pounds.
Eating fresh.
Yeah. Barely 3 months into his 16-year jail sentence for child porn and having sex with underage prostitutes, the former Subway spokesperson has already gained 30 pounds.
Well, I mean, the vice of prisoners is candy, right? So if you've got millions of dollars, you've got a big commissary account, what are you going to do? You're just going to buy fucking treats and snacks.
He buys honey buns by the box. I can just picture Jared sitting in his cell just shoving honey bun after honey bun. It's, I mean, wouldn't you at this point? It's like, fuck it. Why shed the pounds?
I would just get the boxes of those Little Debbie oatmeal cream pies.
And just eat them nonstop. Like,
yeah.
They say Jared's breakfast is usually Frosted Flakes with fruit or oatmeal with cake. He loves cake day in the dining hall, which is twice a week. So they actually have cake day in prison.
I like how there's some guy watching him taking fucking notes so he can report it to, you know, TMZ or whatever.
Yeah, well, cake day. Why do they have cake day in prison? Is that weird?
I don't.
So all the prisoners, like, murderers, rapists, come on. We have a, you know, German double Dutch chocolate cake here.
Tuesdays is cake day.
Red velvet cake this week.
Yeah.
Excited. Cake day.
Wednesdays is David O. Russell movie night, you know?
He buys honey buns by the box as well as other pastries in the commissary on his weekly shopping day. He's been known to eat an entire box of 8 honey buns in one sitting. He's bulking up.
Right. Well, what else is there to do?
Yeah, but I mean, don't you think it's like, you know, I'm sure he's a target of a lot of ridicule.
He's not going to be going into the gym.
Yeah, well, you know, he actually did. He had an altercation in the gym here.
Of course.
He went to the gym, and one of his fellow inmates called him a dirty child rapist and told him to get the fuck out and not come back.
Sure.
And
Get the fuck out of the gym or get the fuck out of the prison?
Get the fuck out of the gym.
Okay.
And Jared actually said something back to him, and the guy walked up and slapped him across the cheek several times and made his face red. And Jared stood there stunned and then ran out of the gym while inmates were booing and calling him by his prison nickname. Chomo. That's got to be the worst nickname.
Yeah, that's pretty unoriginal. You know, that, I thought that was just the general, you know,
well, it's child molester.
Parlance for child molester in prison.
I think that's what they just call you, Chomo. Okay. But I mean, it's the worst. I would rather have any other nickname than Chomo.
Right.
Because you're already a target. But you know what?
Honey bun.
Honey bun is
preferable. You're that guy who's always eating honey buns. How you like them, honey bun?
I like them okay.
But he never ratted out the inmates. Because,
of course not.
They would threaten him. You know, he was threatened if he did that, then they'd get him.
Stab, 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 stab.
Yeah. You know, I've heard that they actually cut your face open so everybody knows you're a snitch.
Ha.
Yeah, so give you, what is that, Chelsea smile? Is that what that's called? A Glasgow kiss?
That's something else, I think. Oh. Yeah.
But the Glasgow kiss, I think, is a headbutt. But a Chelsea smile is when they cut your sides of your lips, I think.
Right.
English listeners can correct me if I'm wrong. But yeah, you know what? Jared, what else is that guy going to do? He's in there for 16 years. I hope he eats himself till he's like 800 pounds. Just like Jabba the Hutt size.
I mean, people who have faced a lot shorter prison sentences have just fucking off themselves before reporting to jail. I mean, what the fuck? Why would you? What?
I don't understand. If you're convicted of having sex with underage prostitutes, convicted of being a child molester, a pedophile, you got to blow your head off. Because prison's Jesus not Christ. Going, yeah, it's not no. going to be an amenable
no.
An amenable lifestyle there.
And once you're there, it's a lot harder to kill yourself.
Yeah, no, I think what he's trying to do is he's going the diabetes route. Mm. A box of honey buns a day. He's going to weigh like 800 pounds. He's going to be a human beanbag chair. Next thing you know, heart's just going to give out. I mean, why not? In other news, you know what? Do you know who Robert Picton is?
I heard something about him, I think. He's a Canadian
serial killer. He's probably the most notorious Canadian serial killer. You never think about serial killers in Canada, but I mean, I'm sure there's many.
I don't want to make a fuss or nothing, but could I murder you brutally? Oh, okay. Thank you.
Well, the other thing, too, is he denies it and says he was set up by the Mounties. But the guy's convicted of murdering 49 prostitutes and he owned a pig farm.
Right.
You own a pig farm. There's probably some murdering going on.
Set up by the Mounties.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but this is great, though. This book is on my reading list. I need to try to find a copy here. Amazon actually yanks the serial killer Robert Picton's book after outrage. Apparently, the publisher of this book, Outskirts Press of Colorado, was tricked into printing murderer Robert Picton's typo-filled memoir. So there's a guy that's friends with Robert Picton. You know, these people that befriend serial killers, you become pen pals.
Right.
You know, have you ever been to the murder museum in Hollywood?
Yes.
So that guy is one of those guys.
Sure.
Like, he became friends with John Wayne Gacy. And he's got he displays the correspondence he's had with, like, Ramirez and all them. So this guy is a friend of Robert Picton. And Robert Picton sent him the memoir, and then he published it, or sent the publisher, but under a different, you know, under his name.
Well, I mean, they did that with Manson. You ever read Manson in his own words?
No. Who published that?
It was like a guy. It was like a journalist who went and just talked to Manson and got his whole story, you know, and recorded it, and then wrote it down. And there's this one moment where she's talking to a reporter, and the guy is there, and this female reporter. And at one point, Manson's like, you know, charming the shit out of her. And then he just takes the cord from the tape recorder and just like wraps it around her neck just to like just scare the shit out of her.
So yeah. he was just kind of, he was intimidating her. He wasn't actually trying to murder her.
Yeah. I mean, there are also some good, like, sex tips in the book.
Like what?
Well, like, he get...
Does Manson have his own, like, signature sex moves?
Well, I mean, he was kind of something of a pussy sorcerer, you know?
No, that guy did. Now, that guy, he was a vagina wizard.
So I remember reading that years ago, and he's sort of detailing, like, this the first time he sort of learned advanced sexual techniques.
I call this move the sloppy Manson.
Where he uses, like, you know, teasing and orgasm delay to just make this woman fucking crazy.
Whoa, he's like Sting. Tantric sex. You know, Sting from the Police.
I know.
He has
fucking
sex
Sting
for hours. That guy.
Okay.
Tantric sex. That. Wow. I didn't know that Manson could do this.
I don't think it's tantric sex. I think he's just teasing bitches and wait, making them wait.
Whoa. So no wonder he had a harem.
Yeah.
Of all these, like, hot hippie girls.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah. No, that guy. Wow. You know what? That's interesting. He should write a sex like a manual.
I mean, it's really like, it's two pages out of the book. It's pretty much all you need.
But, I mean, he's in prison. He's got plenty of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Well, what you got to do is, you got to take all these girls out to the desert. Yeah. And give them like, I don't know, like 8,000 micrograms of LSD.
We're going to have a race war. Yeah. Don't trust the Jews.
Yeah. We got to find the bottomless pit out in the desert. And then we'd be fucking over it. I mean, that's what the book would be. You don't need that book.
I'm gonna get the dune buggies.
Literally, all you need is the fucking two pages in that book. It's very illuminating.
A sex pamphlet.
Yes.
So Amazon stopped selling this memoir because of a public outrage. Family members and of his victims and politicians had clamored for the removal of the book and had a petition that garnered more than 58,000 names. And the pressure worked. The publisher asked Amazon to cease selling the book, and it's no longer available on the site, but I'm sure you can find this online.
Okay.
Yeah, and they apologized to the families of the victims because they were hoodwinked by this Robert Picton fan club member. Picton was accused of murdering six women at the pig farm in British Columbia, and he's suspected in dozens of other killings. Mm-hmm. In the book, Picton claims that he's innocent and says he was framed by the Mounties. The Mounties took some time to get off the horse, put their funny looking hats down, and then frame Robert Picton. That could have been too difficult. I mean, the guy owns a pig farm. He's a weirdo.
I mean, they took time out of their busy schedule of saving women tied to railroad tracks to frame this fucking pig weirdo. Sure. Okay.
There's an actual recording of him admitting to 49 slayings that was played at his trial. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but his crimes span decades. I mean, the guy is probably the most notorious Canadian serial killer.
Right.
Except for that other guy. Remember that other guy, Luke Magnotta, that ate? Like, he murdered a guy. He was a male model, and he murdered someone and ate them. Like, he cannibalized their corpse.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, that guy's kind of famous, too.
Okay.
But, there, you know, there's not that many in Canada.
Yeah,
so
I guess
like it's
not.
Easy to know the names.
Right.
You know? What do you have here for...
I bet he was polite. Story. All right. Well, another murderer. Triple killer Khan Georgiou. Not sure how to say that. Finally passed his phone hidden up his bottom for 12 days.
Wow. 12 days.
The strain is finally over for triple killer Khan Georgiou. The maximum security prisoner has finally passed the mobile phone that has been stuck up his bottom for 12 days.
Was it an iPhone 6 or an iPhone 6 Plus?
Oof. I hope it's not the 6 Plus. I mean,
yeah,
my God.
6 Plus is practically an iPad.
You might as well just put a mini iPad
out
there.
It's the size of a Kindle. Right. Yeah, that's not going to feel good.
Ruptured colon. Splashdown happened in an observation cell at NSW's Goulburn Supermax on Tuesday after Georgiou went on a hunger strike in an attempt to keep the banned phone safely tucked in nature's pocket.
Wow, you know, that's impressive. So he was like, you know what? I'm not going to shit. So I'm just going to keep... Because if he shits, he's going to shit the phone out.
Yeah.
So NSW, that's New South Wales, right?
I'm assuming that is.
So he's an Aussie prisoner.
Right.
God, you gotta admire the perseverance of those Aussies.
So he had it in his prison purse, as they say. That's what they call that.
Prison purse.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the term that for Peter Cullen?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Wow.
That's where you keep everything.
Well, what does Jared Fogle keep in his prison purse?
Oh God. Okay. I was just thinking about it for a second, and I just like
just I went boxes to a, of honey buns.
I went to a really dark place. Corrective Services Minister David Elliott said, "Georgiou will no doubt sleep a little more comfortably tonight. I'm delighted that he no longer has access to a mobile phone and will remain in isolation in Supermax." Great. Okay.
Okay, but keep in mind, they're like, you know, he has access to the phone. What is he pulling it out of his ass, making a phone call, and shoving it back in?
Yeah, I don't know what he's. I don't know what he's doing.
I mean, that couldn't. I don't see how that's feasible.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I mean, maybe he's got a very loose ass or something.
He could.
He probably practiced with a can of Foster's. It's a big can.
That's a big can. Yeah.
A lot of Australians I've heard do that. Just, you know, after they're done with the Foster's, just shove it up their ass.
Yeah. I don't know about that, D.
I made that up. Okay. That's not true. But I would like to think that happens a lot.
I might go to Australia at some point. You know what I mean?
It's a bonding ritual amongst mates. Like, it's like, you're my lad.
I don't
want to
get
here, lad.
I don't want to get the can. What, you know, one time, another show, we should actually talk about Australian serial killers, because those motherfuckers are fucking crazy.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. If a guy's going to shove a phone up his ass.
I mean, this guy's nothing. I mean, they're those weird motherfuckers out in the outback, like the Australian hillbillies who just, you know.
It's just no man's land. Yeah. Van Diemen's land, isn't it?
Who?
Van Diemen's land. Isn't that the outback?
Van Diemen's land?
Yeah, I think that isn't that the term for the outback in Australia?
Oh, yes. Owned by Reginald Van Diemen. He owns the whole place.
Reggie.
The Rebels BK, Bikey, I guess that's what they call bikers in Australia?
Bikey.
What, the Rebels Bikey.
Why do they have to use Bikey?
Why does everything has to be like twee in Australia?
You know what? It's because of that rising inflection.
Bikey.
Crikey. Yeah. It's like, come on. What do they call crocodiles? Crocky. I don't know. It's just, it's a biker.
They don't even use the word twee. Instead of twee, they say like, twee bocca fossile or something even sillier, probably. I don't know. Anyway. Has been hanging on Grimley since metal was first detected in his bottom on February 11th. He had been spotted with a phone in jail and placed on a new body orifice security scanner, or boss chair. A boss chair, which picked up a foreign object.
You know, I got to say...
And that's a good time to bring up our new sponsor, Sharper Image. And they sell the new boss chair, which you can get for $599.99.
Get your own boss chair. Yeah. I was looking at some in the in-flight, the flight catalog. Those boss chairs look like they might be kind of fun.
You know,
fun couple device.
Well, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like those weird chairs. Like the, you know, that chair with no bottom that the Pope had to sit in, and they have to check to see he's got testicles.
Wait, they check the Pope's nuts?
Yeah, they do.
Why?
Because apparently, and no one speaks about this, it's been wiped from record, but apparently at one point there was a female Pope.
Well, so wait, all Popes like, have to sit in this Pope chair?
Who was like posing as a man, like in a fucking Shakespeare play or some shit.
What year was this?
A long ass time ago, like in the 1300s or some shit.
It's a masculine looking woman.
Yeah.
So wait, so the even modern popes have to sit in a chair, and the Catholic priests come out and inspect his package.
I mean, I'm assuming they still do
it. The papal chair, papal throne.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, this kind of reminds me of my brother's roommate. I remember my brother lived with this weird gay dude, this older gay guy who had made, I remember I was over there visiting my brother. And this guy, I forget his name, Michael or something, Bruce, I forget it. Anyway, he comes out and he's like, look what I made. He made a toilet seat chair. And I was just really confused. I'm like, really? I mean, he fashioned it like out of wood. And it was like this toilet seat chair that you could sit in. And so I was like, why don't you just go to the regular toilet? He's like, oh, it's for ass eating.
Ah.
You know, and so this sounds like the Pope chair could either be used for inspecting the Pope's balls or eating the ass of probably small children, being that they're Catholic priests.
Licking the immaculate shithole.
So, you know, anyway,
Saint Peter.
Getting back to the boss chair. You know, I'm pretty sure that in the U.S. they still do like the, you know, the cavity search with their fingers, where it's like Australia's got this advanced technology. It's
yeah,
like,
I mean, look, Georgiou claimed the metal detected was from surgery and then went on hunger strike. He has now been moved to a segregation cell, but the impasse ended with a full flush, and Georgiou's return to the boss chair showed an all clear.
Oh, so he shit it out.
I guess so. I mean, the thing that's crazy about this, because this is an Australian supermax. I mean, if this was in the United States, they just like beat you to within an inch of your life until you fucking shit yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how they get it out in the United States. You know,
they would hang you from the ceiling.
Right.
You'd be manacled by your hands, and they would beat the fuck out of you until you shit yourself.
Yeah.
You know, bloody diarrhea, and out comes a cell phone.
I mean, they might just do that for laughs here. They don't. You know, they don't. God
yeah,
damn.
I'm just amazed. It's like, well, you know, the boss chair detected something in his gullet. You know, we need to observe him in the special security wing till he can pass it. You know, it's like, come on.
No.
Jesus. They actually have humanitarian prisons there. That does not happen in this country.
But this guy, Georgiou, has been in prison since 2003 after he shot three members of the Bandido Bikey Gang. At a nightclub.
The Bandidos. even their biker gangs just kind of sound, kind of pussy.
He was once caught using a phone in 2010 to update 150 friends on Facebook.
Another ass phone?
I'm assuming. I mean, what? He's got a prison wallet, doesn't he?
Jesus, I wonder how that works. So he must be visited in prison by one of the other bikers, and then they're just like, here you go.
Yeah.
Phone coated in Vaseline.
Yeah.
Right up the keister.
I mean, I'm hoping it was like one of those Nokia phones, for God's sakes.
I'm just hoping it wasn't an iPhone 6 Plus. Like a Razer phone, I think I could probably do that. Hmm. You know, one of those, maybe not a Razer. What are the flip phones?
A phablet.
The flip phones.
The flip phones.
Yeah,
sure.
Those are small. Yeah. You can probably do that.
A phablet.
You know what? You got to admire the tenacity. Last story here. This is interesting. There, you remember Joseph Fritzl?
Sure.
I mean, he's probably one of the most famous serial killers. Well, not killers, but one of the most famous criminals of all time.
One of the most famous sex dungeon aficionados is the... Actually, I guess this is what we're calling them.
Yeah, we
sex dungeoneers? Let's call them that. They're like the Disney Imagineers, but they're the sex
dungeon master, right? I like dungeoneer.
Dungeoneer. Yeah.
We actually awarded him the coveted Sick and Wrong Story, ultimate Sick and Wrong Story of all time award.
Oh.
Because I can't think of another Sick and Wrong Story that is as sick and as wrong as Joseph Fritzl.
Right.
I mean, not only did he lock up a woman and impregnate her and have a child, it was his own daughter.
Right.
For 26 years.
Yeah.
It's insane. Swedish doctor given 10 years for bunker kidnapping. Swedish Fritzl.
Ah.
Yeah. This guy actually took it one step further. This guy, like I was reading the story and I'm like, wow, a Swedish Fritzl.
I hear he could get up to 6 years in prison in Sweden.
Yeah. it's funny that you say that. I'll tell you, he's sentenced to 10 years in jail. 10 years for imprisoning a woman in his bunker that he actually, he created like a soundproof bunker.
Yeah.
Like he built it. He was given 10 years.
Jesus Christ.
Scandinavia. A Swedish doctor has been sentenced to 10 years in jail after being found guilty of kidnapping a woman and keeping her in a bunker for 6 days. Martin Peter Trenneborg has admitted kidnapping her, but denied and was acquitted of rape. So he says he actually didn't rape her. He said he planned to hold her captive as a girlfriend in the purpose-built bunker for a few years. He was going to let her go eventually.
Sure.
A little bit of trauma. But, time heals all those wounds. The 38-year-old abducted his victim after meeting her for a date in Stockholm last September. See, there you go, ladies. Beware of the strangers that you choose to fuck on Tinder. It could be one of these guys.
Don't say that. You're going to like ruin it for everybody.
I'm insulting your game. Yeah. No, I'm just saying, it's like, you hear ladies being like, that Tinder date just went horrible. It's like, you used a GPS locator to go have sex with a stranger.
Yeah.
How well do you think it was going to go?
Well, I mean, no. I mean, if you really want to think about it and use, facts and historical data, then no, the whole thing's a bad idea.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, you have
no idea.
Everything's
bad. I mean, just stay home. You know?
Don't masturbate.
Right.
He has been dubbed the Swedish Fritzl after the case of Austrian Joseph Fritzl.
Yes.
So you gotta be impressed by how this guy did it. You know, this is how you pick up and kidnap and imprison.
That's
kind of
sucks.
Woman.
You don't even get your own nickname.
Yeah, I know.
You're the Swedish Fritzl. You know what I mean? That's like if some guy, you're like, yeah, you're the Belgian Charles Manson. What?
It's like, I have a name, yeah. Asshole.
Yeah, right. Seriously. So
he arrived at her home with champagne and gifts. Yeah, they don't say how he met her, but I'm assuming he met her online.
I mean, that's suspicious.
But yeah, I know. Straight up. He arrived at her home with champagne and gifts. I don't know who does that. And he pretended to be an American.
Was this a first date?
Yeah.
You don't invite... What?
Yeah.
I guess this is Sweden, so it's like nobody locks their doors and everybody's eating.
Yeah, they don't have any minorities there.
Everybody's eating like fermented shark, so nobody knows what's going on.
He arrived at her home with champagne and gifts, and he pretended to be an American. Suave Americans, impressing all the ladies.
Sure.
You know, that's not going to be able to do that.
I've tried that. It doesn't work.
Well, it's not going to work for much longer once Trump is president. Be the laughing stock of the world again. Trenborg drugged her with Rohypnol-laced strawberries dipped in chocolate.
Hmm.
It's romantic. And then he kidnapped her. And this part is... Now, this is kind of ingenious. You gotta admire this. He used two rubber masks, one of a bearded man and one of an older woman, to conceal their identities. And then he put the victim in a wheelchair, took her to his car, and drove her about 350 miles to his home in southern Sweden.
Yikes.
Where he had the bunker.
Wow.
So, I mean, that takes planning. I think Fritzl just like got in a fight with his daughter and just physically dragged her down to the bunker.
Yeah.
And he had just like this makeshift shitty bunker. Did you ever see the pictures of his bunker?
No.
It was just like this shitty bunker with like cardboard walls and...
No, these stories kind of really frighten me. So no, I generally don't read about this guy.
Had a soundproof, like this is a professional bunker. Like this guy went to IKEA and bought like the bunker kit.
I wish he'd had like funnier masks though. You know, like, oh, can you describe the suspect and his victim? Yeah, it was Richard Nixon and Frankenstein. Frankenstein was in a wheelchair.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Trenborg held his victim in a soundproof cell he had built at his home, where she was shackled before being permitted to leave to take a shower. So she was allowed to shower. But the court found insufficient evidence to prove rape, and the sentence handed down was lower than the 15 to 16 years that they were seeking. So they only gave him 10 years.
That's absurd.
But he has to pay 180,000 Swedish krona, which is about $21,000 in damages to the victim. So she was only locked up for 6 days, and she gets 20 grand.
Oh, I thought... Okay. You showed me that before. I read 6 years.
No, 6 days. No, okay. He wanted it for 6 years, but 6 days.
Whatever. I could do that standing on my head.
That's not that big of a deal.
That's fine.
You know? The doctor was also found to have drafted a sex contract listing sexual acts, which would reduce the amount of time his victim would have to stay in the bunker.
Right.
So he had a whole sex contract here. Of sex acts that she could like, that I imagine were probably like check boxes. Like, okay, you know, she did the rusty trombone. She did the dirty Sanchez.
Yeah.
Purple walrus. You just took up a year off your time now. And he had other actions listed like escape attempts that would add more time. This guy's very methodical.
Yeah. Wow.
Very methodical. You know, it made me think, how many sex contracts have you written up?
I don't. But writing contracts is really difficult and annoying, you know?
I'm just surprised.
Everybody's
you don't
so
have...
litigious. Everybody's writing up contracts.
Yeah, but I mean, you engage in this kind of BDSM type of stuff.
There's
don't you
many...
have to get signatures of approval? Or
I definitely should have in a lot of situations. I'm just stupid.
Like, I mean,
and lazy. I'm
do,
stupid and lazy.
Do people do that?
Like, oh, absolutely.
So you're like, okay, you know, you're giving me authorization to, bound you and gag you and tickle your feet with my feather.
You know what? Fuck everybody. Fuck all you guys. All right?
You're getting the Harrison Feather treatment.
I'm going to fucking... next person who talks about feathers with me is getting stabbed, and then I'm going to go eat some fucking honey buns somewhere. All right?
So the document, the sex contract, required her to provide a GFE, girlfriend experience, which he described as having shaving all of her body hair and kissing him during sex. Yeah, that's... I wonder if Fritzl, the actual real Fritzl, did this. I don't know. His crimes were found out when 6 days after the kidnapping, he returned to the victim's home to pick up some of her belongings. That's what kind of confuses me about this guy. He puts all this planning into this, builds a bunker, gets the mask, the Frankenstein mask, goes and kidnaps her, and even gets a wheelchair to conceal their identities. But then discovering that she had been registered missing, he then forced her to attend to go to the police station with him to tell the police that she's safe and well and not being coerced.
Is that when she got rescued?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because the police was like, something's weird here.
Yeah, that's absurd.
And so they took the woman aside and she told them what happened, and then they arrested the guy.
Yeah.
Why would he do this?
Who's this guy with you wearing an Ewok mask? This doesn't add up. This is weird.
Even in Sweden, they're just like, hey, you know, this looks very weird to me. I'm thinking something is amiss. But why would you do that? You go through all this planning. It's like, keep her in the bunker. Who's going to think you're 350 miles away from where she lives?
Yeah. I mean, that Cleveland guy had more... Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Cleveland guy. Hmm. You know, he kept those three in there. You know, should look. You know, that's the thing with these Swedish guys. It's a feminized culture, you know? Yeah, they're very emotional guys. The men are... You know, I was reading
that... How do you know about
Sweden? Because I was reading there's an article where men there in Sweden take hormones so they can breastfeed babies because they want to also be...
None of this feeding. Is true.
Look it up. Swedish men want to breastfeed.
Did you read this on theendisnear.com or whatever the fuck?
I read it. It was... I don't know. We talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
And I think it's the feminized European. So this guy obviously is like, you know, she needs to have her favorite pair of panties or she's not going to be comfortable in my bunker where I'm imprisoning her. So he goes back to her house. They don't think clearly. Like in the U.S., you know, the U.S., like, what's his name? What was that guy's name? The guy that locked up those... Ariel Castro. That dude did it right. Gets a tenement house. He boards up the windows and just keeps him like, in the ghetto.
Yeah.
You know, chained to the wall.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
He just, you know, here's your shit blanket. You don't get your... Yeah.
Here's your shit blanket. That's where you shit
now. I'm
going to
put a bicycle, a fucking motorcycle helmet on your head, and then you're done.
It's one of those little plastic children's pools. That's where you bathe. You're with a garden hose, you know? That's where they delivered the baby.
Yeah.
They do it right here. Anyway. Okay. People, send your stories. stickaroundpodcast@hotmail.com. We have phone calls coming up next. Before that, here's another word from our sponsor, Adam and Eve.
Hey, sick and wrong listeners. Want to add a little spice to your sex life? Go to adamandeve.com. You'll get 50% off your purchase, free shipping, 2 adult DVDs, and a product so sensual, we can't even mention it on this podcast.
No.
Just type the coupon code DIDDLE upon checkout.
So we got a few phone calls here, the Sick and Wrong Hotline. A guy called in, very supportive guys, and we got some fans that are very supportive. I think it's because last week we had all the fans bashing on Harrison, so this week... Okay. We have some people that are supportive of Harrison. A few people, even a sexy woman called in.
Ooh, let's hear that one.
Very sexy voice here.
Okay.
So let's play that one.
Hey, guys. My name's Jeff. I've been listening since I was 17.
Her name's Jeff?
No, I think it's Jess.
Oh, Jess. Okay. All
right. 17, so for about 7 years now. And this is the first time I felt passionate enough about something you've spoken about to actually get in contact. I just want to say, Harrison, you're doing a really great job. You're smart, you're funny, you're sexy, and you certainly don't need to get fixated on all your idiosyncrasies. At the end of the day, we all have them, don't we?
Yeah, not as bad as
Harrison. I also wanted to point out that all the people calling in to hate on Harrison are men. I'm willing to bet that they're just intimidated because they're all fucking boring in bed and Harrison has clearly got mad skills.
Hey.
You know, she has a point there. You know, if you think about it, she's got all these, like, you know, English, white, flaccid Englishmen calling in, being, you know, all they do is drink beer all day at the pub. They come home and pass out.
Well, it's a known fact that, you know, Brits who are highly inebriated on lager are too afraid to bring Ewok stabbing into the bedroom. And I am not afraid to do that. I will just do it.
Harrison owns 3 Ewok masks.
I will.
I, for one, would definitely love to be involved in his quote-unquote feather tickling.
God damn it. Where are my honey buns?
I think that's why he has a feather. He talks about the feather because it turns the ladies on.
Everybody's this. All right. This is just getting out of hand with the feather. All right.
I'm going to get you with the ostrich feather.
First of all, if I did use feathers, it wouldn't be an ostrich feather, okay? I'd use a feather from the last extinct dodo or something like that.
Come here, I got the porcupine quill. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Yeah.
Hear about his stories. I'm 100% sure I'm not alone, and I hereby urge any other female Sick and Wrong listeners to come forward and stop the Harrison hate.
Wow.
Wow, this is like a
call to action.
I was about to say, yeah. This is like hashtag stop the Harrison hate.
This chick sounds hot, though.
Yeah, no, she died. You know, I have, there's like many women, actually, fans email the show. I don't even tell you about this. I don't want you to get an inflated ego. But a lot of women call in saying that they like Harrison because they find him sexy and mysterious.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
But then all the men call in and they're just like, oh, that guy's a wanker. And he's got all these problems. And he keeps saying, you know what I mean? It's like, you know what? I think they're jealous. I think there's some envy going on here. Penis envy.
Yeah, I mean, let's just go with that.
Penis envy amongst the Brits. British guys, maybe you should open your mind a little bit, learn something from Harrison.
Yeah. Or just, you know, Charles Manson. You know, pick up the book.
Learn something from Manson.
Right.
All right, our next call here.
Cool, guys.
Oh, wait, there's more.
She's not
there's
done
more.
Here, all right? You're cutting off a beautiful lady here with your inanity.
My
right?
babble.
Yeah.
Cool, guys. Keep it sick. Keep it wrong. Bye.
Oh, thank God we didn't miss that. Okay.
She does bring up a point that we need
thank
more.
You, Jess. No, please. I like to hear the good, the bad, the ugly, everything. Especially the good.
But we need some more female callers.
We really do.
I know. I love my sonorous female voice.
It's nice to hear that women listen to the show.
It is. It is. It's very gratifying.
Yeah.
I like that. The next call here is a joke about Super Tuesday.
Okay. Great.
Hey, fuckers. Yesterday was Super Tuesday. I got a political joke for you. What do Hillary Clinton and tampons both have in common?
You want to guess, or should we just hear?
I already know, but take a wild guess.
They're both covered in Vince Foster's blood.
It's close, but no.
That was okay. Whatever. Fuck.
There's a way better. Yeah.
Ewoks. Fuck you.
Way better punch.
Duck up, cunts. Keep it sick and wrong, motherfuckers.
Yeah.
We play that one again because I think people missed it.
He said they're both stuck up cunts. I didn't say that. That's what he said.
Yeah, ba-dum-bum. That's great. Great. We should get a laugh track in here. But you know what, though? It is funny that he brings up Super Tuesday. I find it really weird, like, with the... I don't know how closely you're following this election, which I think the nightmare's just begun, actually. Trump is doing quite well. But I guess I never paid attention to all these primaries and these caucuses and these names, these nicknames like Super Tuesday, you know, Awesome Saturday. They have like, what was it called today? There's something Saturday, like Super, not Super Saturday. It's like Crazy Saturday.
Crazy Ash Wednesday.
Yeah, but they have all these names for when they do the primaries and the caucuses. And, you know, the reason it's so interesting is because Trump is a colorful politician. He's not even a politician. He's just a colorful man. He's the ultimate troll.
Yeah, he's got colorful ties.
And you know what I read? And this almost, it's close to making me think it would be funny to vote for Trump, even though it goes against every sense of my being. But I'm almost tempted to. I read that they're vetting Herman Cain as his VP.
Oh my God.
Do you remember that guy?
That guy was the best.
Was
honestly.
Becky, yeah. Stan.
Oh, Shucky Ducky. Remember when he said Shucky Ducky?
Shucky Ducky.
Remember when he quoted the fucking song from the Pokemon movie?
Yeah.
I mean, that was... Oh my God, I look fondly on those times.
He was my favorite candidate. I mean, Bachman, insane Bachman was kind of even Herman Cain said she's Looney Tunes.
Yeah,
but Herman Cain was just amazing, and for a brief period. So the same with Ben Carson, in a sense. Like in the beginning, they were like the number one candidate for about like 2 weeks,
right?
You know, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, number one, and then. By the time they actually start interviewing him, taking him seriously, they're like, oh, this guy's insane.
All right, so here's the cabinet. All right, Donald Trump's president. Herman Cain. Herman Shucky Ducky Cain is the VP. You got Michelle Bachman as a Secretary of State. You got a crazy stabby diaper astronaut as the Secretary of Energy.
Who's Ted Nugent going to be?
Ted Nugent is the Secretary of Killing Deer. And rocking out, okay? And then you got a kidnapped woman in a Frankenstein mask as the Secretary of Education.
You know what's kind of a funny funny thing to do?
Yeah.
Go on Facebook.
Yeah.
And, well, Americans can do this. I don't know if English people would. But go on Facebook and just do a search for Donald Trump's page. It's like the official Donald Trump page. And then find out how many friends you have that are friends with Donald Trump, that are fans of Donald Trump. I was looking at it the other day, and there actually are, you know, Mike Martin from the Ville is a supporter of Donald Trump. I'm just going to throw that out there. That guy used to do a show. Well, that guy used to do a show with John Steele and always, you know, profess to be this libertarian, but he's actually a fan of Donald Trump. But then there's a couple people on there. I mean, there's a lot of people on my Facebook page I don't know because they're Sick and Wrong fans. I don't know them personally, but there are two people I know personally that I consider friends of mine. That are actually fans and supporters of Donald Trump.
But is it ironic or is it whatever?
That's the thing. I don't know if they're
if
they're doing it ironically or what their motivation is. But I saw this and I was like, wow, I can't believe you were a supporter of Donald fucking Trump. Like I almost want to like talk to him about it. Just to find out if it's serious or not. Like could you be friends with somebody? Like let's say you met a girl, she's sexy. You know, you tickle her with a feather, she likes you. And then you're out having breakfast the next morning, and then she starts talking about how she can't wait to vote for Donald Trump.
Why, though? It depends on her reason.
Because she wants to, you know, Mexico to pay for the wall.
That would... it depends. Like, if she's just like, oh, I want Trump to be president because
it's
I want to watch the world burn, or it's funny, or whatever. I could live with that. The Mexico, especially make Mexico build a wall. Especially people who live in California and complain about Mexicans irritate the shit out of me.
Well,
as you drive down the fucking street with a Spanish name, because everything has a Spanish name because it used to be Mexico. So shut the fuck up.
Well, not to mention, it's like really California people or not even California people, Texan people, Americans. Mm. Are you really going to do the jobs that Mexican people do in this country?
Right.
There's no way you're going to do that. So embrace these people.
Yeah.
People are as American as you are, you fucking assholes. But the thing is with Trump, though, it's like, okay, what if she was like, I mean, there's so many just abhorrent policies that this man has. What if she was like, you know what? I'm really a proponent of the deportation of all Muslims. You know, or blocking any Muslim from coming into this country.
I would have, I'd have to hear the reasons on that. Because honestly, in a lot of situations... In a lot of situations, my hatred of religion actually outweighs my multiculturalism.
Ooh, yeah.
So, as far as religions go, like the
but
thing about
racism, though, bothers me.
Well, if it's a religious thing, that's a different situation. That's not racism.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, it doesn't. It wouldn't surprise me to meet somebody that supports Trump. I mean, white supremacists support Trump.
Oh yeah, no, it's the angry white guy vote.
Yeah.
And all the white people in the South will vote for any Republican anyway. I mean, when it comes down to it.
Yeah, but I'm surprised they're not picking a weirdo Ted Cruz. Did you watch... So in the best thing about the debates and people, I almost think you should watch like a supercut or when CNN like posts those videos, a summation of the debates. This last one, it's just basically Trump in the middle. Like it's all the... There's four assholes on stage, but Trump's in the middle and he's just... They're just... trading insults and barbs. So he calls Marco Rubio Lil Marco. And then he calls Ted Cruz Lying Ted.
Yeah.
And then they're yelling at Trump. And then Trump made a joke about his penis. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's comedy gold.
Yeah, I mean, it was like an ambush from what I understand.
Well, Trump holds his own. I mean, he's going back and forth, just ripping on these guys, talking about his penis size.
Right.
Marco Rubio's like, look at those little tiny hands. It's great.
He said Mitt Romney would have sucked his cock.
He said Mitt Romney was supposed to be on his knees. I got to say, this is the most entertaining election I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Whether or not I'll be saying that, you know, a couple years from now when Trump is president and we're the most hated country in the world again, you know, who knows?
I mean, it's not easy to get a rich Mormon to suck your cock. Believe me, I've tried.
All right. So we have a couple more calls here.
All right.
A supportive fan calls in.
Hooray.
Twice.
Hey, Dee and Harrison. I love the show. I've been listening for a year or two, maybe. I really like Lance, but I think Harrison is doing a great job, and I much prefer his positivity to Lance's, albeit amusing, negativity.
I'm positive? I don't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of interesting. Huh. But, you know, the thing is with Wackerly, Wackerly's just acerbic in nature. Like, he's just negative about everything. He's negative about relationships, life. I mean, you there are some things that you're actually, you know, emphatic about. You like talk about, you know, I mean, life itself, I think you're pretty negative about. And obviously you suffer from depression and myriad other issues. But the thing is with Wackerly, he just hated everything.
I see. Well, yeah. I'm bipolar. When I'm doing stuff like this, I'm in my mania, right? And then when I'm at home being a sad fucking freaktard, then that's my depression, right?
I still can't believe you were depressed about not talking to that lady doing karaoke last night.
I was like, because my brain was like, you have to talk to this woman. And then I went in the bathroom to do coke and I came out and she was gone. And then I came and then I went outside for a cigarette and she was getting in her car. I'm like, I'm not gonna talk to some chick while she's in her car.
Okay, so my recollection is a bit hazy. I was quite inebriated when I called you.
Right.
But I'm at the bar with a couple of coworkers and we're wasted. Bar shuts down at 2, so I'm like, Harrison, what are you doing? Get us into the after-hour spot. So you come over. There's a lot of these Thai restaurants that do these after-hour things. And for some reason, you know all of them.
I know all of them.
You know all of these. And you know the secret codes to get in. Yeah. And they know you.
Well, I used to do poker at the, you know, with a lot of these weird Thai gangsters and shit.
So anyway, we go to this Thai restaurant and like they have security at the front. They're like, oh, you. Yeah, come on in because we're with you. And we go in and they're doing karaoke. And this woman, she's got to be in her mid-50s.
Right.
And she's singing, what was she singing? Was it like a Hall & Oates song?
She was singing No More Tears by Ozzy Osbourne.
But she was like in her mid-50s. She was not attractive. No.
First of all, there was a black light in the restaurant, right?
It was dark in there.
Yeah.
Yes, and I was inebriated.
Like, you looked like you were wearing dentures in there just because of the teeth were so shiny.
Yeah,
And I was like, she's either 30 or 50. I can't really tell. I'm going to just assume it's 30 and just go for it.
But, I didn't even know this was going on because it was amusing
watching
her.
She was dressed kind of like Thor fucked Stevie Nicks at Lollapalooza and had a child. You know, like literally.
It did look like she had some kind of hippie armor on or something. You know, it was weird. And then all of a sudden, so Harrison tells me today, because he left early. Like, we stayed there, and we continued drinking and doing more cocaine. And then you left early, and you had this, like, depressive spiral, because you did talk to the middle-aged woman wearing, you know, glamour armor or something. Why?
My mind was like, I saw her singing, and it was like one of those moments where my mind is like, you have to talk to this woman. Like, you just have to do it. And when my mind tells me to do those things, I have to do them, because I have to follow the path that it sets for me.
Oh my God. It was funny. It was definitely funny.
Yeah. It wasn't funny for me, motherfuckers. I was fucking bummed. And I woke up super hungover today. And I just had to, even to get out of the house, I had to take so much Adderall that I stopped feeling feelings, that I could see the goddamn Speed Force. Anyway, let's listen to this guy.
As an essentially asexual atheist Jew that likes heterosexual porn.
Okay.
I'm somewhat confused individual.
I'm confused by that statement. Yeah. So wait, he's an asexual heterosexual Jew.
Yeah.
But he likes hetero porn. Do asexual people really jack off? Like, why would you masturbate?
I think that might be a misnomer there.
But then again, I mean, maybe it's like what you don't like is relationships with people. Like, you're just not... I'm not quite sure of that. Right. It's just weird to think an asexual guy, has a wank every now and then.
but I'll say this. I've never heard of ASMR until you guys mentioned it a few episodes ago. And so I made a little investigation, and I find it entirely unarousing. But I listened to your podcast on earbuds whilst walking London streets, and I totally dig Harrison's cotton mouth.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That is weird.
Is it, did you just say that?
Maybe he's a cottonmouth sexual.
Maybe he means the song Cotton Eye Joe. Maybe he's getting confused.
Maybe he's a cottonmouth sexual.
Oh, that could be a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I really like Dee's nasal whine.
It's not sexual. Also very weird.
But I really get some auditory stimulation from you guys.
Is this Alan Moore? I think it might be.
I think this may be Alan Moore.
Or Ian Sinclair, possibly. Okay.
I love your banter. But I slightly disapprove of your attitude towards the disabled. Also, Steel, I think it's...
Look, retard is the last, you know, it's the last frontier I have. It's really the last thing I can do. Okay? I'm sorry.
The thing is, it's not...
I like, feel bad, but, oh, come on.
Yeah, but it's not like we're like, you know, Nazis saying, you know, we need to exterminate the disabled. It's like... The term retard is innocuous.
I don't want to justify it, but there's no justification.
I like the name. I like saying it. You know, and actually, to be honest, I like retarded people a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I appreciate the existence of retarded people.
Great. Yeah, I mean,
makes life more interesting.
It does. Yeah. Makes me feel better. I guess I don't know. Something.
Pretty much the most disgusting human being that there is. And I think you should sever all links with him.
So we cut that, or we stopped it at kind of an inopportune moment. But he says Steel is the most disgusting individual that's ever existed. You know what's funny? I mean, that's harsh, but that guy is not alone. That guy's not alone. Steel's a very polarizing figure. There's some people that just absolutely love him. And then there's other people that think he's just a repugnant creature. You know, and obviously this guy falls in the latter category.
So Alan Moore's sort of briskly strolling around London with his trench coat, you know, through the Spitalfields, looking up at Hawksmoor spires and listening to John Steele and just fucking shuddering. That's what's happening.
The thing
here
is with Steele, though, like, Steele isn't a racist, evil person. He's a troll. Like, he says horrible things to get to garner a reaction. And I mean, you know, quite possibly, I'm sure he believes a lot of that stuff. But that's what I like about Steele is because, you know, the man's mind, he's a bizarre individual. Think about that guy. He's, you know, he lives on his own. He's in his mid-40s.
Right.
Bachelor in mid-Michigan.
Okay.
He's, you know, suffers from clinical depression.
Yeah.
He never gets laid. He has erectile dysfunction.
Yep.
He lives in a room. Like, if you go to his room, he calls it the dorm room. It's basically, you walk in there and it's the manifestation of Arrested Development.
Isn't he a private detective?
Yeah, that's what he's a private
detective. Why doesn't he talk about that on the show? That's,
you know, he does talk about it every now and then, like different cases that he does. But I mean, it's like mid-Michigan. And the thing is with Steele, you know, oftentimes I wonder if he might be gay because he says so many things about gay people. I've never heard anyone use the word fag all the time.
Right.
But, you know, probably he's probably not gay. But I mean, and even if he was gay, he would never move to like a large city where you can be gay and be happy. So instead, I mean, if he's gay, maybe it even makes more sense. He's just this like dude that lives in this small community and just hates life and everybody around him. I think Steele is just a misanthrope in general. I don't think it's racially guided hatred. I just think he's a misanthrope.
You could say the same thing about me. One could.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're not vocal about it like he is.
Okay.
You know, because you do, you know, maintain a certain level of political correctness.
Sure.
You know, but whereas Steele is a troll about it. I mean, he says, and so, you know, the reason I like his segment is because he says things that, I mean, I'm just blown away by his mentality. It's just, it's weird that anybody would think like that. And he's a friend of mine. I like the guy. Yeah. Anyway, but it doesn't surprise me that people think he's a repugnant creature.
And also, that guy that calls in from NYC that you think is Scottish? Nah. I'm an actor. And I know accents. That guy is not Scottish. He's basically doing a Dick Van Dyke Scottish accent mixed with a Northern English accent. He's basically just a fucking chav trying to turn you guys on.
Huh. Yeah, this is not the, he's not the first person to say that. Some other people said that, too.
A few people pointed that out. Yeah. You know, you could fool me. I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, how are we supposed to know?
Right.
You know?
We're just idiots.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going on.
But, I mean, it sounds to me like he's Scottish, but yeah, what do I know?
Right.
So I would say pay him no more heed. Love your work, guys. Keep it sick. Keep it wrong. Bah!
All right.
So he calls back, right?
Here we go.
Yeah, I just left that message about how hot I found Harrison's cotton mouth. I forgot to say my name. This is Jezzington Bear. Yeah.
Jezzington Bear?
Jezzington Bear.
Jezzington Bear.
I like it.
Yeah. Well, Jezzington, thank you for the support. We always appreciate that. You can and you can inflate Harrison's ego a bit more. It's mm-hmm. always good.
Hey, I wonder what he likes about the cotton mouth. Is it maybe it's like an ASMR thing, like
the sound of it? Yeah, I find it repulsive. But yeah, who knows?
I don't hear it when I listen to the fucking show. I don't know. I don't.
You know, to be honest, actually, because I edit the show, and I actually it doesn't really. Sometimes I hear it, but you know, I don't really pay attention. Maybe I tune it out because I'm desensitized or something now.
Well, I mean, as I'm doing the show here, I got a glass of water, which I've kind of been drinking. I've got a can of Coors. I've got two cans of Coors. Not even Coors Light. Coors. I didn't even know that was a thing, first of all. Second of all, then I have some of these famous coffee, which is brewed
from... Yeah, but that doesn't that dehydrate you and exacerbate
brewed
the...
Brewed from like Peruvian lighter fluid or something.
Gasoline.
So yeah, my mouth is very dry.
But and yeah, I don't really... I honestly don't hear it all that often.
Yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, apparently anyway. The English males, it really pisses them off.
Okay.
People call Sick and Wrong Hotline, 206-666-3846. We have time for one email here. Sick and Wrong Podcast at hotmail.com is the email address. This comes in from Shane. He says, D, I just finished your last episode, 521. Nice job. I checked Google Play. You're not there. I listen to the show on my phone while I'm at work, sucking on the public tit. But I can't seem to download it anywhere. Listening seems to work fine, but sucks up the data if I'm not on Wi-Fi. You can get iTunes, but it's just music, no podcast. So if you know where an Android can download, let me know. Keep it sick, keep it wrong. You can go to Podcast Addict. Yeah, have you heard about that one?
No, is it a website?
A bunch of people have been writing in that Stitcher is Android or iTunes or iPhone.
Can't you send it to fucking Google Play like you do?
I did. I actually put it on. I thought we were on Google Play.
Okay.
But I did put it on Google Play. But you know what the thing is with Google Play? They don't like explicit podcasts. They label you explicit and then you got to be reviewed.
No.
But right now, I think Google Play is relaunching their podcast platform. So we'll be on Google Play soon. But in the meantime, Podcast Addict and Stitcher are the two areas or the two sites that a lot of people go to, or apps. The two apps a lot of people go to listen to Sick and Wrong on their Android. iTunes. That's what we prefer if you listen to the show on iTunes.
Yes, please.
So if you go to iTunes, you can just subscribe, you can rate, you can comment, and then that just boosts us in the comedy rankings. Like we always used to be in like the top 50. Now we're lucky if we're in the top 100 in American comedy podcasts. But the UK, we tend to do well. So anyway, we appreciate you subscribing and rating and commenting and listening through iTunes.
Word.
Also, the new t-shirts being printed this week, finally. After much deliberation, after much forethought, I designed the artwork myself, going back and forth, asking all these people, like bothering Harrison. Harrison was bothered by it.
Well, he keeps saying like, oh, it's being printed. And then a week will pass. He'll be like, what do you think? Should I have the S a millimeter to the left or should I keep it where it is?
I thought you had it printed
a week ago. What the fuck? Why are you asking? Like, just,
I'm a perfectionist.
Yeah.
Anyway, they look cool. I think you're going to like them and they're going to be available quite soon. Finally here, Sick and Wrong Song of the Week. I don't know if you've heard this song, but it's terrible. It's terrible. Hmm. It's called Trumpified. Here's some of the lyrics. I've been Trumpified. Donald Trump's gonna make countries bow before our eyes. I've been Trumpified. The Art of the Deal, Please Have No Fear, Trump's Arrived. These are the opening lyrics to the song Trumpified by a college senior, Emerson College senior, Scott Isbell, who wrote and recorded the single, which is this the week's fifth most played song in the world on SoundCloud. This song is incredibly popular. And this guy's a Trump supporter. His name's Scott Isbell. And he released this on SoundCloud. And now he's like making a whole album. It's kind of like rap R&B, like a Kanye West song, kind of.
Hmm.
But praising Trump, extolling the virtues of Trump. So
maybe I should make like a song about chomos in prison. You know, like stab, 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 honey bun, stab, you know, something like that.
You should make a Jared Fogle song.
Yeah, okay.
It might be popular, but you got to have like a hip hop beat to it.
Right.
You know,
I can
and
do
the thing is, it's not satire. It's not irony. Like the guy really does believe in Trump.
Yeah.
And he plans to cast his vote for Trump. So Trumpified is what we're going to end the show with here. The nightmare is becoming a reality. I do think it will be an endless source of amusement for 4 years if Trump's elected. I do love how he's tearing a rift like through the Republican Party, but yeah, we I don't know, we'll be the laughing stock of the world again.
Yep.
It's just the scorn of the world.
It'll be fun as we clutch our shit blankets and look through the world through our fucking Frankenstein masks.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. So yeah. We're going to end the show here with Trumpified by Scott Isbell. People will be back next week with episode 523. Until then, take it sleazy.
where you can stick it. Later. I'd lick a finger in the butt myself. Push it back in the outdoor. Take the hand and you shove it back in. Another butthole. Not to mention the semen. Out, it's everywhere. It gets in
my throat.
Now, you just had your colon filled up, pinching your ass labia.
Fine gay gentlemen. Some of them were all right looking. They just kept coming to my hand and opening and then going in my throat. At San Francisco parties, I'm towards the bottom. I'm towards the bottom. I'm towards the bottom. I'm towards the bottom. I'm the bottom. Going in my throat. Going in my throat.
Not to mention the semen.
I guess I better go back to my room and have sex with five or six of these nerds.
Scissor kicking position with the guy.
I wonder what a dolphin penis tastes like.
Not to mention the semen.
Vagina. Flat and weird looking, and it's got that weird slit mouth. I couldn't fuck that. I'd be worried about, like, vagina dentata. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned naval buggery? Hey, I would fuck a dude. Buggering your fellow sailor.
Finger in the butt. Finger in the butt. Finger in the butt. Finger in the butt. Not to mention the semen.